This is Dennis Tech of Radio Birdman, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Accra.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Accra, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show on the fifth day of voting. And voting continues through November 8th. You can go to the WGXC newsroom for all sorts of information, interviews with candidates, and more about the election. Please get out and vote. We'll hear more about that today on the WGXC Morning Show. Plus, we'll hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all starts after Jason Martin finishes singing his song and the time for the WGXC local news. Stay tuned.
Hold. On air, in air, channel, connection, and the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
Turn out to Tubby's in Kingston on Saturday, November 5th for drone performances from Greg Davis, Hudson's M. Geddes Gengris, Troy's Ben Saraton, and Jay Ashdown. They all perform drones at Saturdrone at Tubby's in Kingston on Saturday, November 5th from 8 to 11 p.m. Go to the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org for more information.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of the Bridge Street Theater in Catskill, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about anything you hear here. Mid-Hudson News reports that New York State Comptroller Thomas DiNapoli on November 1st issued a report on overdose rates, and the results show that drug overdose fatalities surged statewide during the pandemic. Opioid-related overdose deaths increased by 68% between 2019 and 2021, taking the lives of nearly 5,000 New Yorkers. With limited statistical data available from the CDC, 15 counties in the state were analyzed. The highest overdose rate among the 15 counties was in Dutchess County, where more than 43 people per 100,000 died of drug overdoses in 2020. There are approximately 297,000 residents in Dutchess County. Key takeaways from the report: the share of drug overdose deaths in the state involving opioids increased to 85% in both 2020 and 2021 from 69% in 2010. In 2021, 30 New Yorkers per 100,000 died from drug overdoses, and 25 per 100,000 New Yorkers died from opioid overdoses, compared to 5 in 2010. New York's opioid overdose death rates exceeded national rates in both 2020 and 2021. Fatalities grew across all racial and ethnic groups. Death rates increased fivefold for Black New Yorkers, quadrupled for Hispanic or Latino New Yorkers, and nearly tripled for white New Yorkers. Quote, the shocking news in State Comptroller DiNapoli's report on overdose deaths between 2019 and 2021 simply reconfirms the need for an all-out effort to mitigate this crisis, unquote, said State Senator Pete Harkham, chair of the Senate Committee on Alcoholism and Substance Abuse. The senator is calling for additional resources for treatment, recovery, and prevention initiatives. Read more about this story at MidHudsonNews.com.
Lisa Harris reports for the Times Union how climate change is already transforming the Hudson Valley. The Hudson River Watershed Alliance held its annual regional conference on watershed science and policy last week in Kingston, Hyde Park, and on Zoom. Speakers presented the latest research on how climate change is driving erosion in the area and listed other current results of global warming. In New York, winters are warming faster than summers. Climate change is bringing more rainfall and more intense storms to the area, and also more episodes of short-term drought. And in Kingston, the Hudson River is encroaching on the city. The end of East Strand Street is often underwater, with high tide flowing across the roadway. Julie Noble, Kingston Environmental Education and Sustainability Coordinator, said, and I quote, "That is the river," end quote. The tidal Hudson River has risen about a foot over the past century and could rise 6 more feet in the next century. Libby Zamatis, a climate planner at the State Department of Environmental Conservation, said, and I quote, "I think a lot of communities want to get ahead of this. To do that, you have to have a plan now," end quote. Read the full story in the Times Union.
Columbia Green Media reports that the former president and CEO of the Columbia County Chamber of Commerce, Jeffrey Hunt, has been charged with grand larceny, according to a statement from the Columbia County District Attorney's Office. Hunt, 54, appeared on October 31st with his attorney in Columbia County Court. Hunt waived indictment by the grand jury and consented to prosecution by Superior Court information for the crime of third-degree grand larceny, a Class D felony, the district attorney's office said. Hunt had previously been arrested by state police for allegedly stealing more than $46,000 from the chamber. The case was adjourned until December 9th. Hunt is being represented by the Columbia County Public Defender's Office. Deputy Chief ADA Ryan Carty is prosecuting the case. The matter first came to light in November 2020, when Hunt abruptly left his position at the chamber. The chamber board was made aware of some, quote, irregularities within the finances, unquote, and an internal investigation was initiated to determine what had occurred. The chamber's executive committee voted to terminate Hunt's employment immediately. The investigation into the irregularities remains active, according to the DA's office. Read more about the story at HudsonValley360.com.
Nick Reisman reports in New York State of Politics that after voting has already begun, the New York League of Conservation Voters Political Action Committee is starting a six-figure ad campaign for four Democratic incumbents in the state Senate, including Michelle Hinchey. Hinchey, an incumbent, is running to stay in office against another incumbent, Republican Sue Sereno, after redistricting threw them together in the 41st State Senate District. The New York League of Conservation Voters are also backing State Senators John Brooks on Long Island, the Hudson Valley's James Scopus, and John Mannion of Central New York. NYLCB PAC Senior Vice President Josh Kleinberg said, and I quote, "November's elections are critical. We simply cannot hit pause on the progress we have made over the past 4 years, and we cannot afford to roll back laws on investments. We need to maintain a strong pro-environment majority in the state Senate to continue our transition to a clean energy economy, safeguard the most vulnerable communities from the effects of climate change and pollution, and create green jobs," end quote. The group is also hoping voters back the $4.2 billion Environmental Bond Act that is on the back of New York ballots this fall. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics.
The Daily Freeman reports that a local hunter was charged with shooting a female bear with a bow and tracking it with two other people who then used a shotgun to kill the animal. The incident occurred in Rochester, Ulster County, on October 8th, according to the Department of Environmental Conservation. The DEC received a phone call reporting that the hunter posted photos of himself and his two accomplices with the bear and shotgun on social media. The caller told police the same bear was seen eating out of trash dumpsters in the area with its cubs. When interviewed by environmental conservation officers, the hunter allegedly admitted to shooting the bear as it was feeding on the trash and confirmed that he and two others had killed it, police said. The three men were not identified by the DEC. Officers seized the bear's hide and meat and then issued the hunter several tickets for the unlawful take of black bear. Hunting with the aid of a pre-established bait pile and possessing a firearm afield during the special archery season, according to police. Two of the hunters were released with tickets for Rochester Town Court. Charges are pending against the third person. Read more about the story in the Daily Freeman.
Meg Britton-Meklis reports for the Berkshire Eagle that more than 3,000 staff members of the Berkshire Health System last week were notified by BHS management that the new COVID bivalent booster was being added to the system's previous coronavirus vaccine mandate. That memo, leaked to the media, told all, and I quote, employees, caregivers, contractors, volunteers, and students working and learning, end quote, within the system that they had until December 15th to receive the booster and report their vaccination status to the health system. The statement to employees reads, and I quote, it is now clear that adding the most recent bivalent booster will provide better protection against newer strains of the COVID-19 virus, end quote. The memo advised that while employees can apply for medical or religious exemptions, anyone without an exemption or booster shot by the deadline, and I quote, will not be cleared to work and will therefore be suspended from employment without pay, end quote. Employees may be fired if they do not receive the booster. Hundreds of employees and community members say they are against the new addition to the Berkshire Health System's medical mandates for staff. Hundreds signed a letter to the hospital system over the weekend opposing the new vaccine requirements, calling the expanded vaccination mandate, and I quote, nothing more than bullying by an employer for profit, end quote. One Berkshire Medical Center nurse, speaking anonymously for fear of retaliation, said that she is actively looking for other places to work because of the mandate. She said, and I quote, I'm willing to leave this place of employment because of the way they've treated us and the way they say, get this booster or get terminated, end quote. The nurse said she has her doubts about the booster's effectiveness. She and many of the co-signers to the letter say they're asking BHS to grant them the same autonomy over their health care decisions they grant their own patients. A spokesperson for the health care system said the vaccine requirements as a condition of employment are nothing new. The corona vaccine regimen joins BHS's requirement that all staff receive the flu, measles, mumps, rubella, varicella, and Tdap vaccines. Scientific evidence shows that the COVID-19 vaccine is safe and effective. Read the full story in the Berkshire Eagle.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website. WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
And now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Wednesday, sunny with a high near 65 degrees, and Wednesday night it will be mostly clear with a temperature high near 35 degrees. And on Thursday, sunny with a high near 63 degrees, and Thursday night mostly clear with a temperature low of around 43 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, Radio for open ears. in Greene and Columbia counties.
Wednesday, November 2nd, there's all sorts of great live programming from Community Voices on 90.7 FM, including at 11 a.m. It's time for Mayuko Fujina's Mirage Station show. She's live from Accra. Then at noon, after the local news, we go live to Catskill for 2 hours with the Bedazzled Radio Hour from Spike Priggen, live from Spike's Record Rack on Main Street in Catskill. 4 p.m., the WGXC afternoon show is live from Accra, WGXC Congressional Report, and more. 6 p.m. All Together Now from Accra has a midterm election special with all sorts of news about voting this week. Off the Hook at 7 p.m. is live from Brooklyn. Simulcast from WBAI, it's from the Hacker Quarterly 2600 crew, and it's all about technology. At 8 p.m. we go live to Hudson, Rock and Roll High School, from Peter McPartland and Anya Kanovskaya, who are beaming out from the basement of the Hudson First Presbyterian Church, where WGXC has a studio on Warren Street. At 10 p.m., we are live from Ulster County with Snack Point Charlie and Jeff Economy. And at midnight, we are live from Ulster County again, Peter Aaron and his Go Go Kitty show that simulcast from Radio Kingston till 2 a.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
Turn out to Tubby's in Kingston on Saturday, November 5th. For drone performances from Greg Davis, Hudson's M. Geddes Gengris, Troy's Ben Saratin, and Jay Ashdown. They all perform drones at Saturdrone at Tubby's in Kingston on Saturday, November 5th from 8 to 11 p.m. Go to the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org for more information.
The sun is a mass of incandescent gas, a gigantic nuclear furnace, where hydrogen is built into helium at a temperature of millions of degrees.
Oh, Helios. Oh, yellow star. Oh, glowing sphere. Gleaming beacon. Brilliant flaming orb. Giver of light, warmth, and radio. Yes, it's true. WGXC's brand new solar panels are installed and ready for deployment, where they'll be calling on the free and plentiful rays of the sun to bring our station close to full sustainability.
To make WGXC a solar-powered radio station.
We are going solar. WGXC will be a solar-powered community radio station, getting our power from the sun rather than foreign despots.
WGXC loves the sun, and we're going to love it even more now that WGXC is going solar.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Daily News. Mid-Hudson News reports that New York State Comptroller Thomas DiNapoli on November 1st issued a report on overdose rates, and the results show that drug overdose fatalities surged statewide during the pandemic. Opioid-related overdose deaths increased by 68% between 2019 and 2021, taking the lives of nearly 5,000 New Yorkers. With limited statistical data available from the CDC, 15 counties in the state were analyzed. The highest overdose rate among the 15 counties was in Dutchess County, where more than 43 people per 100,000 died of drug overdoses in 2020. There are approximately 297,000 residents in Dutchess County. Key takeaways from the report: the share of drug overdose deaths in the state involving opioids increased to 85% in both 2020 and 2021,
from 69% in 2010. In 2021, 30 New Yorkers per 100,000 died from drug overdoses, and 25 per 100,000 New Yorkers died from opioid overdoses, compared to 5 in 2010. New York's opioid overdose death rates exceeded national rates in both 2010 and 2021. Fatalities grew across the racial and ethnic groups. Death rates increased fivefold for Black New Yorkers, quadrupled for Hispanic or Latino New Yorkers, and nearly tripled for white New Yorkers. State Senator Peter Hackman, chair of the State Senate Committee on Alcoholism and Substance Abuse, said, and I quote, "The shocking news is State Comptroller DiNapoli's report on overdose deaths between 2019 and 2021 simply confirms the need for an all-out effort to mitigate this crisis," end quote. The senator is calling for additional resources for treatment, recovery, and prevention initiatives. Read the full story at MidHudsonNews.com. Bill Williams is reporting for Columbia Green Media that according to a statement from the Columbia County District Attorney's Office, the former president and CEO of the Columbia County Chamber of Commerce, Jeffrey Hunt, has been charged with grand larceny. Hunt, 54, appeared on October 31st with his attorney in Columbia County Court. The district attorney's office said Hunt waived indictment by the grand jury and consented to prosecution by superior court information for the crime of third-degree grand larceny, a Class D felony. Hunt had previously been arrested by state police for allegedly stealing more than $46,000 from the chamber. The case was adjourned until December 9th. Hunt is being represented by the Columbia County Public Defender's Office. Deputy Chief ADA Ryan Carty is prosecuting the case. The matter first came to light in November 2020 when Hunt abruptly left this position at the chamber. The chamber board was made aware of some, and I quote, "irregularities within the finances," end quote, and an internal investigation was initiated to determine what had occurred. The chamber's executive committee voted to terminate Hunt's employment immediately. According to the DA's office, the investigation into the irregularities remains active. And you can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. The Daily Freeman reports that a local hunter was charged with shooting a female bear with a bow, then tracking it with two other people who then used a shotgun to kill the animal. The incident occurred in Rochester, Ulster County on October 8th, according to the Department of Environmental Conservation. The DEC received a phone call reporting that the hunter posted photos of himself and his two accomplices with the bear and a shotgun on social media. The caller told police the same bear was seen eating out of trash dumpsters in the area with its cubs. When interviewed by environmental conservation officers, the hunter allegedly admitted to shooting the bear as it was feeding on the trash and confirmed that he and two others had killed it, police said. The three men were not identified by the DEC. Officers seized the bear's hide and meat and then issued the hunter several tickets for the unlawful take of black bear, hunting with the aid of a pre-established bait pile, and possessing a firearm afield during a special archery season, according to police. Two of the hunters were released with tickets for Rochester Town Court. Charges are pending against the third person. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman. And that wraps up the WGXC Daily News. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Russell Miller of New York, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
Most radio shows don't come with a demonstration, but most radio shows aren't Radio Wonderland.
Greatest hits.
Right, so then I take more pieces of live radio, slice them, fit them into the groove, and then in a few minutes you get something like...
In LA, some restrictions apply.
It's radio made completely out of radio. I'm Joshua, but you just call me Radio Wonderland.
10:30 a.m. Saturday mornings till 11.
Some restrictions apply.
This is WA3QIZ. Do you read me?
Seymour, isn't it about time you made a real friend?
Mother, please, I'm communicating with my fellow hams.
How do I talk? Push this button here. You're all losers!
Next, we hear from Catskills' Amy Rigby. She has a 2022 Bandcamp collection out called Cut and Run, which she calls a ragtag collection of covers and songs that might not make the cut for the proper album she's working on. Here is Foot of Pride from Catskills' Amy Rigby from Cut and Run.
I don't know, I wasn't there, I was visiting a friend in jail. They sang Danny Boy at the funeral in the Lord's Prayer. Preacher talking about Christ's betrayal. Like the earth just opened and swallowed him up. Then he reached too high, tumbled back to the ground. What they say about being nice to the right people on the way up. Sooner or later you're gonna meet them coming down. Well, there ain't no going back, ain't no going back. When the foot of pride come down, ain't no going back. I had a brother named Paul. You can find him at the Cafe Royale. Where Miss Trixie plays and the reviews are mixed. On the borderline, says revenge is mine, but he drinks and drinks to be fixed. Sing me one more song about whiskey heaven and your old cold-blooded love affair with Errol Flynn. In these times of compassion, where conformity's in fashion, say one more stupid thing to me before the final name. Everyone he touched. They give money to the church, foundations for research. Not somebody you play around with much. Miss Rosetta Black, if you're on the deep side of the track, she's tough to look at, but she's straight. Should you be coconut bread? Spice ones in bed, forget everything he said. Won't have to worry about find some serious people in the invisible world. They can ring your bell and show you how to hold your tongue. They don't come to Parliament. They kill babies in the crib and say, oh, they're good dying. They don't believe in mercy. Judgment on them is something you'll never see. Turning into the devil's daughter, or lead you straight into the valley of slaughter. And you still be thinking that that's you, the same person that you used to be.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
You've been paying the Social Security your whole life. You earned it. Now these guys want to take it away. Who in the hell do they think they are? Excuse my language.
With 1 week until the midterms, President Biden warned Floridians Social Security and Medicare could be on the chopping block if Republicans take control of Congress. Polls suggest the GOP will regain control of the House, and the margin in the Senate could remain razor thin. Democrats are making a final push to win over voters in the Sunshine State, which has been pivotal in recent elections. The Supreme Court has rejected South Carolina Republican Senator Lindsey Graham's bid to avoid grand jury testimony in Georgia over alleged election interference in the 2020 election. The senator must now testify by November 17th. Gabriel Sterling, an election official in Georgia, defended his and Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger's decision to certify the results of the 2020 presidential election.
Secretary Raffensperger and I'll speak for him to a degree, we're lifelong conservatives. Conservatives, real conservatives, are about defending the institutions.
Meanwhile, the High Court has extended a temporary block preventing a House committee from obtaining former President Donald Trump's tax returns. The committee wants to examine how the IRS audits presidential taxes. Trump is the only president in the last 40 years to not publicly release his returns. An anonymous woman is standing by her claim Georgia Republican Senate nominee Herschel Walker pressured her into having an abortion nearly 30 years ago.
In the Bible I read, say, I believe in life. Because remember, he said God gives us a choice. He is right about that. He gives you a choice, but God also tells you to choose life.
Two women have come forward in recent weeks alleging the staunch anti-abortion candidate pressured them into having an abortion. Former President Trump appeared on the Krista Gall radio show and spoke about the attack on House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's husband, calling the attack crazy, but not denying unsubstantiated claims surrounding the event.
It's a lot of bad stuff. I'm not a fan of Nancy Pelosi, but what's going on there is very sad. The whole thing is crazy. I mean, if there's even a little bit of truth to what's being said.
San Francisco Police Chief Bill Scott says conspiracy theories undermine the work of investigators and stress the theories are baseless.
We've spent a lot of energy just pushing back really ridiculous conspiracy theories to make sure that people stay focused on our team.
David DePapp, the man accused of attacking Pelosi, made his first court appearance Tuesday, facing multiple state and federal charges. A preliminary hearing is scheduled for Friday. I'm Alex Gonzalez for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Today we're exploring all mail-in voting, used in 8 states with great success and with somewhat higher voter participation. Mail-in ballot conspiracy theories are unlikely to stop the states which have successfully implemented it. Why? Because both voters and election officials like it. Eight states conduct their elections mostly by mail: California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Oregon, Utah, Vermont, and Washington. Other states like Alaska, Minnesota, and New Mexico allow for all-mail ballots in small jurisdictions and in certain kinds of elections. An all-mail state sends a ballot to the citizen's voter registration address. The voter completes their ballot, signs an affidavit, and returns it in the usually postage-paid return envelope. Oregon uses the signature on the ballot to match the signature on the voter registration file, and all states have severe penalties for misuse. In its 3 decades of mail-in voting, Oregon officials report only about a dozen cases of actual fraud. Oregon and other mail-in ballot states allow online tracking of ballots and have embraced convenient, secure drop boxes. Like other forms of mail-in ballots, voters say they like the convenience. Kitchen table voting allows citizens to carefully select their candidates from the safety of their own home and helps elders, the disabled, voters without transportation, and voters living in remote areas to exercise their sacred right to vote. We have links and articles at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal.
Next, we hear from Hudson band Babehoven, their song Marion, their 2022 album Light Moving Time, with Jessica Schappi on viola and Samuel Lieberman on flute.
Yeah.
Was 2022 new music from DNRES, Denres. That's Aaron of Buke and Gase, who live in Hudson. Aaron is the male half. There's a female Aaron also in Buke and Gase. Have I confused you enough? This is the first track from his first solo project on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Victor Feldman reports for the Red Hook Daily Catch the differences between Republican Sue Sonero and Democrat Michelle Henchy, who are competing for the 41st Senate District seat. Both are current state senators, with Sereno representing the old 41st District and Henchy in the former 46th District. Redistricting has moved Henchy into the 41st District that includes all of Greene and Columbia counties and parts of Dutchess and Ulster counties. The two candidates participated in one debate hosted by the Daily Freeman and one candidate forum with the Ulster County Chamber of Commerce. Sereno ignored requests from the Daily Catch to participate in another debate, and the League of Women Voters also canceled a planned debate after Sereno declined their invitation. Henchy is a former marketing executive from Socrates, and Sereno is a Hyde Park-based realtor. They agree on virtually nothing. Henchy supports abortion rights, and Sereno is against the medical procedure. They both bash Central Hudson's electricity billing, though Henchy pointed out that Sereno gets campaign contributions from Central Hudson and voted in May against a bill to establish a utility customer advocate. Both candidates decried the lack of affordable housing in the area, but offered different solutions. Sereno wants less oversight on developers. She said, and I quote, "It's because of Albany's bad policies that we are having a struggle with having affordable housing," end quote. Henchy wants the government to encourage more affordable and workforce housing projects. Read more about this story in the Red Hook Daily Catch.
Since I have been so thank you.
from Hudson, that was Beethoven. The song Circles from their 2022 album Light Moving Time.
The grief forest is home to confused young things. I hear a small bell. The cat hides behind a cabinet. Sapling branches catch fur. A sign above the doorway says low bridge. My father keeps liquor in the living room. This is where we set up the Christmas tree. But it isn't December. There is no tree. He pours liquor into a stainless steel shaker filled with ice, then strains the liquid into a glass. He says, "Come over here." He says, "Stop." But I won't stop. He tells me to pull down my pants. My father makes me stop. Flooding and flowering. He says, "You'll grow where I say you can grow. On the hillside where the factory burned." He prints his hand on my skin. The dam stops the river. The train no longer comes through. Creosote ties, mossy and decayed, lie on either side of a berm that rises above the swamp and cuts through exposed rock.
That was Grief Forest from Columbia County-based poet Karen Schomer and sound artist Peter Taylor from their 2022 album Agro Dulce.
Eric Lazo in the City and State reports that voters decide on Proposition 1, New York's Clean Water, Clean Air, and Green Jobs Environmental Bond Act, when vote October 29th and November 8th. The proposal would allow New York State to borrow up to $4.2 billion to improve and restore New York's natural resources while reducing climate change impacts. The state legislature approved the act in April, but voters must also sign on. Historically, New York voters have approved similar bond measures to establish state parks and land preserves and reduce industrial pollution and increase air and water quality. This one would prepare the state for changing climate with funds for zero-emission school buses, flood risk reduction, water quality improvement, and other spending. Jessica Otney-Mahar, New York Director of Policy and Strategy at the Nature Conservancy, an environmental organization, said, and I quote, "If passed by voters on November 8th, Prop 1 will improve public health by upgrading the state's antiquated 100-year-old pipes and water infrastructure, fund projects to mitigate climate change and flooding, and to create tens of thousands of local jobs. New Yorkers have a chance to protect their state from an increasingly dangerous climate future by voting yes on Prop 1, end quote. Read the full story at City and State.
That's Claverack from Sebado member Eric Gaffney from a 1999 album. And he apparently spent time in Columbia County because this other song on that album, Brilliant Concert Numbers, is called Hudson River Landing.
Summer.
The Times Union reports about the loan debate between Republican Liz Joy and Democrat Paul Tonko held October 27th for the 20th congressional district election. Tonko, an incumbent, cast himself as a defender of democracy, while Joy actually attended the Stop and Steal rally in Washington, D.C. on January 6th that led to an attempt to violently overthrow American democracy. Joy also opposes basic public health, saying all of society should be put at risk so that vaccine skeptics can avoid getting a safe injection to protect themselves and others. Tonko, by contrast, said that people should be vaccinated for COVID-19, measles, polio, and other dangerous diseases. Joy also claimed she would vote against a federal ban on abortion, but Tonko accused Joy of supporting bans on abortion with no exceptions and said he supports abortion rights. The new 20th congressional district